Hello, yes, you've joined the 365 Message Center show. Today we've got a good show for you where we are covering Microsoft Teams templates to make things a bit easier for creating collaboration spaces. There's some bits and pieces around native notifications, team in meetings notifications galore. See you soon.
The following episode was recorded live on YouTube. Check out our website at messagecenter.show for all of our episodes.
I am not mocking you. I would never do that. I'm just joining in on the fun of you saying galore.
All right. All right. Well, welcome to the show, everyone. Thanks for joining us.
Yes.
We're about to hit a crazy week where tweets will fly. Stuff will be announced. And, well, let's just talk about stuff that's landed in the Message Center this week. What do you think about this week's messages in general, Daniel?
Well, in general, I think it's the messages are dominated by Teams. I'm not going to put a shocked face on. This is something that we kind of expect. You just alluded to that the Microsoft Ignite conference is happening starting tomorrow. That is correct. And if you don't like Teams, then I don't know that you're going to enjoy most of the conference. I think that if you've been paying attention, you know Teams is a centerpiece for a lot of content around Microsoft 365. So here we are. We've got, of the messages, 80-90% of them are about Teams this week. So,
and which is okay. My summary of that, yeah. I'm just wondering, what are they holding back to be able to announce at Ignite with all of these things that keep landing each week?
Yeah, I think the Teams team is a little different than other product teams in that if you look at maybe SharePoint or the Office team where you're talking about Office apps and stuff, they have kept stuff back intentionally so they can make these announcements. Teams, I think, are in this situation, this different situation, whereas during this whole work time where we are remote, some of us are remote, some of us are not, and all this, Teams is an integral part of that. And so they're having to keep up with the ever-changing landscape of what is needed for work, for this modern work that is modern epidemic work, I guess, pandemic work. They've had to be, they've not held back features. They've not held back announcements for a lot of things as we've been going through it. There are some things that they've held back. So we will see some new stuff, I promise. Some exciting things that, I'm very happy to help organizations implement and help them understand how they can use that technology and those features. So there's going to be some cool stuff.
All right. Well, let's get into it. In this one, I saw some joyous celebration on social media when they saw, I think we've combined two messages here, haven't we, Daniel? Let's take a look at, at least the first one I can point to.
Yes, the first one is MC222156. Did I say too many twos?
No.
Three twos, and then a one and a five and a six.
Mm-hmm.
This is Microsoft Teams introducing native notifications. Okay, so the one Daryl is showing, the 156, is for Mac OS. And then there's another one, 157, 222157, that's for Windows. And so this all boils down to Teams giving the user the option to select notifications to utilize the native OS notifications method. So in Windows, obviously, Windows notifications, you can select Mac if you want it to use the Mac OS notifications. And it really as simple as that, allowing the notifications to, instead of being a Teams bloop, that pops up in your bottom right corner in Windows, and bloop, yes, I did go bloop. Instead of that, you can use the Windows notifications.
I just wanted to get you back because you were galore. So I was like, I'll just mimic your bloop. So the pop-up bubble right? The toast.
Yes.
The thingo that's
the toast. That is right. And it is rolling out, the other bit about this that you need to know, it is rolling out late October through early November. So be looking for it then. Yes, you need to update your users on this feature, how you want to utilize this in an organization. I personally think that notifications are, how do I say this? I like getting notifications, for instance, when I'm missing messages. So, you know, when someone's talking about me, I like getting an email to say, hey, Daniel, you know, maybe you need to get back into Teams. For instance, maybe I'm just doing something else. I'm out of Teams. Shocker. You can get work done outside of Teams. I know.
Often.
But then the worst experience about Teams, the feature that I hate the most is when I'm in a meeting and I've got my meeting on the screen and then I click out of the Teams meeting to write an email or whatever. And then all of a sudden, bloop, 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 'cause people are, you know, typing in the messages, and it covers up what you're trying to do. Mm. It's so annoying. To the extreme, it's so annoying.
Yeah.
And so any kind of work around messaging or notification, sorry, is welcomed. I'm, you know, two thumbs up for me. So being able to handle some Teams messages, at least in this in the scope of your operating system, is great.
Definitely.
Do you agree, Derek?
Look, I don't often use Windows notifications. So I'll probably just stick with the same old Teams bubble and manage it from there. I understand that the Mac OS notification system is pretty sweet. So a lot of Mac owners are really happy to see it all come together in one place. That would just be my comment. I just haven't used Windows notifications much at all and kind of keep it permanently in silent. Yeah.
Well, maybe you would revisit that, or maybe others would revisit that if that's what you've done to your Windows notifications or your Mac OS notifications. Maybe revisit that if you're in Teams and those notifications you want to kind of start managing from the operating system, then this is something you should investigate. Again, end of October, beginning of November is when the rolling
yes,
out.
Yes, yes, as a risk.
And so now, mm-hmm. Daryl.
Yes.
I think... speaking of Teams, and this could be our transition for pretty much most of the show, but speaking of Teams, let's talk about Teams templates.
All right. Yes. Now this is certainly, highly, highly anticipated. We've for some time been able to create Teams, blank Teams created based on Teams. There's all been all sorts of workarounds and, some clever people have been able to create, third-party systems or their own systems to create Teams and inject whatever they can or whatever's possible into creating a team. But this is going to be native Teams templates. This is MC222, we'll be in the 222s all week, 406. And this is, it's a big deal. What we'll see to begin with is 13 templates, base templates they call them. And they call them base templates because they're available there for you to make a start from. Whether you just go with whatever they've come up with or what your admins can do, take it, use it as a base, and then create their own to tweak and change it. What will templates include? It will allow you to configure what channels are available, apps and tabs that you can pin. On the topic of apps and putting them into a template, I don't expect that it's going to make it completely seamless unless it's completely integrated. If Planner, for example, sure, that makes sense. It's got your context, you're signed into Teams and it'll pick up your login. But if you're using a third-party one like Trello, for example, expect to have to sign in and pick up that context. It's a big deal. I think that it's going to make things a lot easier to shape new teams around the way that you cooperate, collaborate within your organization, certain ways of doing projects. There will be some more things coming, like at the moment, we also would like to see pre-populating standard documents or maybe folder structures to try and mimic our project structures and the like. But definitely a good start, and it will definitely get some good use. What have you seen in this message here, Daniel? How would it impact you?
Yeah, well, what I was going to say is that I think it's very similar to the templating we see with Power Automate, in that you create this template, which is kind of the framework for the what you're trying to do, but it's not the same as I'm taking an exact copy and putting it there. Just like you were talking about having to authenticate the services and such. Mm. So, you know, that's kind of the way I'm feeling about this this process. Is you got to remember when, and of course, I'm from a SharePoint background. So in SharePoint, we used to
say that like that. Be able you say to, that like you're apologizing.
No, I just want to set, you know, for people who are just now listening or watching the show, I'm from a SharePoint background, and we used to take templates, and it really was an exact copy with content, with exactly where the web parts were, all of this kind of thing, and we, you know, could take that and paste it, basically. We could create a site based upon that template. This is not that. It's kind of like, just like we do now with templates with SharePoint using PNP and SharePoint Online, we're taking a kind of a copy, but it's not, it's a script of what we want, right? And then when we apply it to a site, it has to go through the script of, okay, we want this web part on this section and all that kind of stuff. So it is different. And the same way with Teams templates, we just need to, if anyone coming from that background, I think that's just, we just need to make sure we have the right, you know, mindset. That's all.
There is one thing other than just setting up the structure, which I quite like about these templates. It allows you to set the team level settings about how you want admins to be handled, or how kind of guests, what sort of permissions they have to interact within the team. So at least there's that. Not channel level notifications or channel level settings, but team level settings. So we expect to see more development around that. The rollout expected to start first week of October and completed by end of October. So not far away. Great.
Nope, not far away at all.
I think that it's about time we talked about something to do with Yammer. No? Yammer?
Okay.
I'm probably jumping order here. What have we got? No. There was...
No, I think you're right. We talked about having this show being dominated by teams, but there was a couple of others, you know, of items that we need to talk about in the Message Center, and Yammer is one of those.
Yep. Around, what is that, settings change? That's not too far away. One click away.
Yeah, so this is MC222. I'm going to go with that one. 222345 new Yammer setting change. So I think they should have put quotes, new Yammer in quotes, setting change. So if you've been keeping track of Yammer, there's this thing called new Yammer, which is the new experience. It's been redeveloped to not only look different, but act and functionally have differences on the back end. And it is really the development way forward for Microsoft. So there's this classic Yammer and the new Yammer. So this is talking about changes, setting changes for new Yammer, and rolling out mid-October. So we're about a month away, a little less than a month. There will be three options for settings for your experience for your users. One is what's called opt-in. And basically that means if your experience right now is classic Yammer for your users, there will be a way for your users to opt in to the new experience, Yammer experience, okay? The second option is new Yammer by default. And that means that whenever my users go into Yammer, they'll see the new Yammer experience. They will be able to opt out of the new Yammer experience to Classic if that site, you know, if they were used to that Classic experience, then they'll be able to keep that experience for a while. Not forever, but for a little while. And then the third setting option is new Yammer with no opt-out, meaning not only will they get the new experience, but they won't be able to change it back to the Classic experience. You just kind of force them to it. And I can see how an organization would choose any of these three. I could see definitely how there would be an argument for choosing one over the other, depending upon your organization, depending upon your organization's willingness and acceptance of change, as well as have they been in Classic Yammer for a very long time? Are you just now rolling out Yammer, or have you just rolled it out in the past few months? You know, so there's an argument for it, I think you could have for any of these three options. I think it, you know, as I mentioned before, Microsoft is having all of the development done on the new Yammer. So I don't think you should have any expectation that Classic Yammer is going to get some fancy new widget that's going to blow your mind away. I think it's all in the new Yammer experience. That's the way to go. So I personally, if I was an organization, I probably would lean to either having new Yammer as default with an opt-out or new Yammer with no opt-out. Just bite the bullet and make the change is probably now. There needs to be a lot of planning there, so don't think I'm not saying you just do it and willy nilly, as they say. I am not suggesting that at all, but I think because that's the way we're going, that at some point you're going to have to say, you know what, we need to bite the bullet and just do it. Now the best part about that is with this change is that you can switch between these. You're not making a permanent decision on how you want the setting to be. So if you select opt in and then you educate users and you have some lunch and learns and you have you know, some great experiences on for your users to learn, and then you've found some champions in your organization to really really help their fellow users to understand these changes, and you've educated those champions, then you can go ahead and switch it whenever you're ready to switch to no opt-out, for instance. So anyway, you need to be educating your users on this change. I think it goes without saying, but hey, we're pretty thorough around here on this show. So, so I'll mention that you need to be educating your users. So, you know, do you see anything else, Daryl, you want to mention on this one?
I would say that we've seen a similar kind of switch or spectrum before when switching from Skype for Business to Teams and giving that experience. And I like this from a change perspective, that you are guiding the organization through, so that first of all, they get to make a choice and test the waters for themselves. You can start to introduce things. You're actually providing an avenue for your champions to get that early experience and get familiar with it, and then just guiding your way through that. So I can see where you would go through the range, and then eventually, that's it, people, where we're using this new experience. So you're good to see that pattern, and looking forward to seeing similar kind of pattern with other significant changes in different platforms. Right.
So do you want to stay with Yammer?
Well, there's a next one we can have a look at is the and I'm having trouble finding it actually. Turn off message preview for chat notifications in Teams.
Okay.
Speaking of Teams,
just because you said the title, yeah, which had Teams in,
yeah,
it.
Yeah, speaking of Teams. Speaking, yeah, exactly.
Gotcha.
This is actually quite a good setting to come in. Protecting those who were sharing their screen in a presentation or in a collaborative space. And it also kind of tunes in, it sort of works in with our discussion about notifications earlier and using the native notifications. MC 222 or 222 171, and the ability to be able to turn off the preview of what's in a chat or a notification. You'll often see the first few words or a piece of a sentence just cluing you into what is going to be in the rest of the message. And we see this with Outlook too. If you've got those notifications turned on, you might see a preview of the subject or the first few words within the email. But when you have your screen shared and you're presenting, sometimes that could be embarrassing, or you might be breaching of privacy, and it's difficult, right? I think this is a good setting to turn on out of just keeping things private, right? To make sure that those who they see your busy bubble, they don't bother looking to see if you're in a call or in a meeting. They just go, oh, this person's always busy. I'll just send them a chat anyway. Hey, man, what's for lunch? Yeah. Or did you get a load of that town hall where our leader was? That was so boring.
Right. Or did you have that meeting with that stupid?
Yeah, I'm meeting with them now.
You mean the one I'm in right now? Oops. And you just yeah.
So that's a good setting. You'll find it in settings in notifications. Funny enough, there'll be in the appearance and sound section. Look for that switch to show message preview. Turn it off. This is a setting that is user controlled. We don't seem to have anywhere at the moment where an admin can say make this the default. So it's about making people aware of this change, particularly those that you know who present a lot. Maybe even those who have been caught out once or twice in this situation, just say, hey, this feature's for you. I asked for it. And this one will be rolling out early October and complete by late October. There's a few things happening in October. Not bad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and I think if you think about what's happening starting tomorrow with the Ignite conference, a lot of things start happening next month with rollouts of features and functionality. I think that's what we're probably seeing.
Yeah.
Keeping
with notifications and meetings, Daniel, something has popped up here. Speaking of Teams.
Yeah. Speaking of Teams, MC22346, Teams meetings, comma, end of meeting notification. The title of this is peculiar, but I'll move on from this. It's a simple update here. Basically, what Microsoft is going to do is alert you that the scheduled amount of time for this meeting, when it's 5 minutes toward to the end of the meeting, it will send a notification in the Teams meeting saying there's 5 minutes left. Just a 5 minute warning. The meeting will end. Not really. It's scheduled to end in 5 minutes. Now that would be interesting. Mm. The meeting actually shut down 5 minutes, you know, on the time when it's supposed to. So you got to hurry up and get it out or bloop,
you mean gone. Like a free service that you might not subscribe to yet and you only get 45 minutes?
Right. 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 Yeah. I actually think that would be an interesting setting. I need to go to user voice and put that in. That'd be kind of fun. Yeah. So what is interesting about this, if you combine, forgot to mention, in 10 seconds, it'll go away. It's just going to pop up in that same notification area where you see this meeting's being recorded we talked about the transcript that's coming.
Captions?
Yes, the closed captions. You know, that the transcription, when you go and say, I want this meeting transcribed. Yeah. You know, you'll see that notification as well. It's in that same area. So it'll go away 10 seconds after it pops up, or you can click dismiss. It's rolling out now, pretty much. I'd like to combine this. If anyone's tried this, it's fantastic. You can set your meetings to default ending early. And this is an Outlook feature. But being able to say, I want my hour-long meetings to end 10 minutes early, or my 30-minute meetings to end 5 minutes early. Mm-hmm. And that way, you can actually transition to your next meeting. So that would be interesting for this. You know, combine it with this, and maybe you will actually end your meeting on time.
That's no small thing. If you think about how many meetings do tend to overrun, and meeting rooms are booked and people are sitting outside, and the meeting organizer wants to get in early, at least 5 minutes early, to sit up and make sure they're ready for their person. And it's just like waiting for flights that continually get later and later.
Well, and it's not just, I agree with you. It's not, but it, you know, that's a in-person analogy, but even virtually, you need some transition time, because how many times do you get into a meeting and you sit and wait for a minute or two or three or four, because you know there's other people that need to join. So you're going to wait for them to join, but they're having to wrap up the previous meeting. Even if it's virtual, they're having to wrap it up and then join yours. Mm. And you don't want to have to repeat everything you say at the beginning of the meeting.
Yeah.
Some might say, oh, that's inconsiderate of people not to be on time. But it's also sometimes out of your control. If their manager is in a meeting with them, you know, they can say, well, I've got another meeting. But their manager can say, OK, but you need to hold on for a minute. I need to tell you something. It's like, well, so what do you do? It's just the way it is. Or it's a customer. And are you going to blow off you are talking way too much. I got to go to my meeting. You know, I'm already late.
Yeah. Well, I have a hard stop. You know that $10 million deal that I'm trying to convince you to, you know, to buy.
And right. Yeah. Hard stop. Yeah. Hard stop. Got to go. Bye. No, it's not. So it's not going to happen. So anyway, I anything that we can do to help, whether it's in person or virtual, on transitioning meetings, I think is fantastic. And I think organizations have been dealing with this for a very long time. Some organizations, you know, say, I've heard of organizations saying there's no meeting time between the 45 and the top of the hour, or the 50 in the top of the hour, meaning you may not meet during that 10 minutes because people have to transition to the other rooms and all this.
Yep.
And, you know, things like that I don't know that it's going to get fixed by this warning, you know, but it does, you know, anything that can help.
Meeting culture. And seriously, I think that if we all gave each other an additional, or like that 15 minutes to switch context, get our minds into that next meeting, we'd actually all have better meetings, because there would be quality and people would be in the zone before they switch into it. Yeah. Dreaming. Yep. Let's try and build that culture, people. Stephen Collier mentioned something about a social post. One person's trick is to have a clock in the background, but have it 5 minutes fast so that people are looking at it in the... Yeah, I like that one. Yep. I like that one. Speaking to teams, but speaking of Yammer, how about that? I kind of connected the two.
Nice. Yeah, yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Yammer app is available to use within Teams, called the Communities app. You can consume Yammer within Teams. This is MC. Oh my goodness! I can't say 222. It's 4 2s this time. MC 222246. The Yammer app within Teams becomes a little more functional again. Within the community app, you can search within the community that you are visiting, or you can search right across Yammer. And now this means that you're not sort of boxed into just the Yammer experience and trying to traverse and go through and find that content, but you can actually use search and get quickly to that conversation you're looking for, that thing that someone mentioned. So this is good. It's interesting to see this progression of making Yammer more functional within Teams. And like on that same theme too, like you can use the Yammer app within the Teams app on your mobile. I don't know about that. I know that's another discussion entirely, but this is a good thing to see search working more functionally within the Communities app within Teams. Mm.
Agreed.
Yes, thank you, Stephen. It is not called Yammer, it is called Communities. Right, so it is called Communities. Yes. Ignore the word Yammer.
That's right.
Right. So this one's rolling out end of September. Expect to be complete end of October, and you'll have all that search goodness there. Really, you know, if we're thinking about unified search, I would expect one day maybe we could use the search box at the top of Teams, and it would search within Yammer within Teams, or within Communities within Teams. Sorry, Stephen.
Well, even if the even if you could use the search box in Teams to search Yammer, then you would be coming out of that, possibly, out of that community's app.
Yeah.
And so I think the point here is that you're staying within the community's app and being able to search Yammer. I feel like this is... I mean, this is a great thing. I really do want to be able to bring search and all that, but it is not in conjunction with that. It's well, it's not conjunction with that, that search bar. So, of in, within Teams, and so I think this is going to take some education around for your users to remember. They're going to see a search bar. They're going to want to use it to find that Yammer content just because it's there. Because I'm seeing Yammer content below, right?
Yeah.
Because I'm seeing the community's app. It's showing me the Yammer content. So just know that you're going to need to probably educate your users just a little bit.
I think I sometimes imagine myself back on taking calls, support calls, where it wasn't always that you had the tools to be able to see what was on people's screens. And for features like this, I sometimes imagine myself trying to tell people, yeah, just click in the search box. Oh, which search box? You know, that one within that one.
And, right, exactly. Yeah. And I was just having a conversation before the show started with a colleague of mine who was wanting to show a SharePoint page as a replacement for another SharePoint page. And it just looked different. And I think the idea was we'll just explain that away, that it looks kind of different, but it won't look different when we get there. I'm like, no, you can't do that. And it's kind of the same. You need it to look like it. You can't just explain it away. People want to see what it looks like. And the same kind of thread here or same plane of thought is I need to be able to see, you know, envision what I'm trying to do. And if I have two search boxes, that it does make it a little more complicated. And I need to explain that to my users. Well, that's not the best experience. So that's why I'm a little hesitant on this update. While it does bring that ability to actually search Yammer, which is great within the community's app, I'm hopeful that, you know, we'll see progress made in Microsoft Search to include everything and bring it all together.
Yeah, Dean Gross raises a good point to just try and explain which gear icon to click on. Similar kind of thing.
Right.
No, that gear. The small cog, not the little cog. The second gear, not the first gear. Very cool. Have we covered all the messages? We got mixed up with our order of things today, but I think
we did.
We did, yeah. There was a couple of other ones, like there was an interesting message in there from Flow Admin Center that we could, you know, just briefly talk about, and that was just we would normally see something like this in the Service Health dashboard. Perhaps we did. But it was interesting to see this drop into the message center. Given we talk about the message center, we thought we'd point this out and say, okay, our monitoring detects that there is some, you use Flow and there were some failures. This is where to find it. This is what the workaround. Interesting to see a message like that. That is the show. And that we are definitely thankful for everyone who joined and threw in some really colorful comments. We've got a big week. We've got a big week with Microsoft Ignite. So stay tuned. Microsoft Ignite, regarding 365, we're going to try and do a bit of post-analysis the following week. We're still getting things organized and pulled together, but we'll try and publish some of the episodes that we've got planned for talking about the different topics and some of the reactions and thoughts that we have about the announcements and what's coming. So thank you, and we'll see you again next week. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.